This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at MissoulaChurch.com.
We're excited to be here on Mother's Day, so we want to make sure you're honored and you're part of that. And I think you'll see that in today's message. How it ties in today, but just we've been in a series on David. We're talking about the life of David and how we can look at him and how God chose him and used him, and yet through the midst of all that, he had failures, he had faith, and then yet he even had fulfillment in life. And like, how can we take all those things together and see them in our lives, and even see David was known after a man after God's own heart. It's amazing. God took him from this like shepherd boy, like obscurity, no one knew who he was, to like anointed him the king, put him through this long season of waiting and trials and pain and rejection, and through all these things to eventually he takes the throne and he's in the house and he's ruling over Israel. 2 Samuel 7 kind of tells us where David is at the high of this life and he is. He's united Israel all together. He's sitting on the throne. He's ruling. He's actually in a place where he's like walking in an incredible victory against all of his enemies. Things are really going good. And now he's looking at his life, like maybe you've been there before. He's looking at his life and he's like, well, what's next? What's the next thing that's going to happen for me? And he's looking at that. And as he's looking at what's next, he has a moment that is so significant that I think will speak to your life and speak to my life today. So look at 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 1, and this is what it says. It says, after the king was settled in his palace, the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies that were around him. And I thought, man, don't you just love those moments where you just look at life and you think, boy, life is good. Like, I know it's not all the time. We're not always going to have those seasons where life is good. But there are other seasons, and maybe you're there now, where things are good. That's where David was at. Like, my family is good. My health is good. Like, life is just really good. And David is now having one of these moments. And he goes on, he says, he said to Nathan, the prophet. Now, Nathan was a prophet is someone who heard from God. He was kind of like David's right-hand man, his spiritual advisor, his pastor, who Lord just spoke to him and he would in return speak to David. And so he's there with Nathan, his prophet, and he said to Nathan, the prophet, this is David talking. He goes, here I am. I'm living in a house of cedar while the ark of God remains in the tent. We'll talk about the ark of God. Be here next week. We're going to talk about the ark of God, the presence of the Lord. But that's what the ark represented. It was the present Lord. He says, while the ark remains in a tent. And Nathan replied to the king, whatever you have in mind, go ahead and do it. How many of that's not smart advice? I would love for you moms, tell your kids, do whatever you want. Whatever you have in mind, just go do it. I don't care. Have fun. And Jesus is the reason for the season. He'll take care of it, right? And he says, whatever you have in mind, go ahead and do it, for the Lord is with you. Now, this is a dangerous thing to say. Whatever you think is okay, David, you just go for it. And David's wise enough. He's smart enough. I hope like we could be where he doesn't just go with his gut reaction, but he has this idea. And hear me, church, it's not a bad idea. And I want you to lean in on this today because this is so important for your life. This is actually a really good idea that David has. And he wants what he wants to do, and he brings this idea before the Lord. But in the middle of the night, the Lord comes to Nathan the prophet, and he says this to him. But that night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. Are you the one to build me a house to dwell in? I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites out of Egypt to this day. I have been moving from place to place with a tent as my dwelling. So the Lord's presence at the time, it would dwell in this tent with the Ark of the Covenant, right? And they would move it around wherever it would go. And this tent is literally where the Israelites would say, well, this is where the presence of God was. And David, look, he has this great idea. He's like, I don't like that the presence of God is in a tent. And here I am in the palace. Like, I'm sitting in this big, on this throne, this cedar-built place, so I don't like that God's in a tent, so here's what I want to do. I'm going to build something great for God. And God's like, no. Like, that's not what we're going to do. And that's not what you're going to do. That's not the plan that I have. Now, if you're a type A person in the room, and you know who that neighbor is that's a type A person, you drive us crazy. But you're that, like, you just, like, you're a go-getter. Like, David was a go-getter, type A person. Like, and the type A person is like, you know what? I got to win. And you want to win at everything and at all times. And you want to continue to succeed. And David looks at his life and he says, hey, look, I've already conquered every honoring. I've overcome so much thing. Everything is good in my life right now. And basically he's like, I just need a new challenge. I just need something new in my life. And God responds to his new challenge with, hey, that's not your task to take on. Look how God responds to him, verse 12. And when your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Now, why does this matter to us, church? As David goes before the Lord, he's with his prophet, and he's like, look, I got this great idea, and I think it's a God idea. I think it's a really good idea, and I want to present this idea to the Lord. And God responds to David with a word that nobody likes. He responds in a word that you have despised since you were a child. Like, we don't do well with this word that God responds to him. And it's the title of today's message. How about this? When God says no. Like, when God says no. Don't you know if you've ever had those moments where you've prayed and the response you got from God was a giant no. No. And I hate that. Like, I wish that I was, like, spiritually mature like some of you, where I was mature enough to sit and God says no, and I just say, thank you, God, for that no. Like, I'm just, thank you, God. I know I want this. I know I need this. And I know, and you said no. Just thank you. Thank you, God. I'm just not that spiritual. Right? I don't like no. I just don't like no. I don't know if there's anyone in here where you've prayed at least once in your life and the response in your life was a simple no. Like, anybody trusted God for something? Maybe you're trusting God for a spouse. Maybe you're trusting God for a provision, an answer that you needed for something. Maybe even just a healing. You just needed something. And you're like, God, will you just give me a yes? And God says, no. I hate that. And here's what I understand. Hear me. I believe in miracles. I love it that you and I serve a God of breakthrough who speaks to us, who leads us, who does miracles in our lives. I love it that we can pray and God hears our prayers. And I'm so thankful for the moments that God responds with a giant yes. He blesses that family. He gives you that child, mom. He gives you a healing. He provided for you where you knew it could only be God that brought you that provision. I love yes. But I've learned in life that sometimes God responds with no. And it's tough. It's frustrating to hear no, because how many know it's not natural for us to like no? This is not natural. Like, if you have or had kids before and you tell them no, like, they're not sitting there going, thank you, mother. Oh, dad, I'm so glad you told me no. None of your kids, when you say no, go, I receive that, right? I receive that no. Thank you. I really appreciate you, right? No, they don't do that. Like, Kim and I we try to parent on the same page, but I would say that Kim is more compassionate to me. Like, she loves saying yes to our kids. Like, she loves to give them the desire of their hearts. Like, she works hard to provide for them. I mean, it's a mom thing. And I, on the other hand, relish and have no problem saying no. Like, I love it. Like, right? And my kids, they're here today, but they have the ability. I've never seen this before. But they could be all put together, but they have the ability to relax every muscle in their face when I say no, right? I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. Literally, just before I walked on this stage, I said something to my son, I need you to do this, and he did it. He relaxed every muscle in his face, and he went, ugh. I literally looked at my wife and go, he just did it. What I'm going to talk about, he just did it. Like, go clean your room, ugh, you know? Like, I need your help with something. Can you get the groceries in? You know what I mean? Like, where does that come from? I don't know. It's like a special gift. But hear me. As I'm watching them react that way, I realize I've done that with God. Like, I've had those moments, like, needing something from God, praying, and God doesn't show up. Or God, at that moment, just gives me a big, giant no. And it's frustrating. Like, I get angry. I get confused. I get impatient with God. Believe that. I get selfish. I start to doubt. I start to question. And maybe even get to the point where, like, I just want to quit this whole thing altogether. But then I see the story of David, who was a godly man, who was achieving all the purposes of God for his life. And by the way, let me again remind you, David did not want something that was bad. He's asking to build him a temple. Is that really such a bad thing? Like, you and I can understand it when God says no when it comes to sin and worldliness. We understand it when God says no to selfishness and all those things. But what do you do when God says no when it comes to something that's good for your life? When it's good for somebody else? Like, when you're single and you want that relationship that God, and God's just saying to you, no. Or, like, you want to make a change in your life, maybe a change in your career that could be good for your future, and God says, no. Like, it's tough. Like, maybe you have a health crisis right now, and you just need to, and you know the Bible says that we can go to the Lord. You know that the Bible says that we have healing in Him because of what Jesus did on the cross. But as of right now, God's saying to you, no. And there are going to be times, and I know this is not the best uplifting sermon you came to church to hear today, but there are going to be times that if you're following Jesus and you choose to follow Him, where you're not going to get the yes that you want. But how many of you know how you handle the no really matters? Why was David a success? Why was David a man after God's own heart? You know why? Because it wasn't just how he handled the yes, but it was how he dealt with the no. How you deal with a no in your life is really, really going to matter. And so here's the question. Why does God tell us no? Why does he give us the no? I mean, surely it's in his power to just say yes to everything, right? Just click yes and we all get what we want. Sure, it's in his power. But how do we handle the no? Why does God tell us no? And so I'm going to give you quickly today, I think three reasons, I think, that will make your faith stronger, that will help you in the midst of your no. So let me start with this. Like, so when God says no, how do we handle that? When God says no, what can we look to? Why is the reason he's given us that no? Well, here we go. Number one, when God says no, maybe God is just protecting us. Maybe he's just protecting us. Like, how many know, I just believe this, whether you believe it or not, but I think God knows more about your situation than you do. Like, I think God sees more than you do. And God is saying no because he's trying to protect you. Like, if you have kids in here, if you woke up and your kid said, I would like candy with my breakfast, I hope you say no. And the reason you say no is because you're protecting them. Because if you do everything you just want to do, it's just not good for your life. I remember I was in junior high, probably 13 years old or so, and I remember we had this kid in my neighborhood, and he was like the cool kid in the hood, you know, like everyone wanted to be around. Everyone wanted to be with him, and he was doing a hangout night at his house, and I was invited. Like, it was like stardom in my life. And my parents, I said, hey, I've got this invitation. to go to so-and-so's house and hang out with him and some other friends. And my parents said to me, no. And I remember crying. I do remember crying. Like, I'm in junior high. They're destroying me. Like, everything and everyone is going to be there. Like, I'll never get invited over to this house again. I remember looking at my parents, you are ruining my social life. It's done for me. And my parents are like, no, you can't go. And I saw it as if they were punishing me. And all these years later, I realized they weren't punishing me. They were protecting me. And let me just have a moment in the room. If you're a young person in here, I know there's a battle that you face. There's a battle in your mind that thinks, I got this. There's a battle in your mind that thinks, I know what's best for me. And I get that feeling, and I understand that. But for all my young people in the room, let me tell you something that someone with just a little bit older than you knows. Your parents aren't trying to make your life miserable. Well, maybe they are. But anyway, but let me just say this. They aren't thinking to themselves, wow, it's a joy to see my kids suffer. Isn't this fun? Just look at them squirm. I enjoy this. That's not what, nobody is thinking like that. Nobody is doing that. They just have something, a thing that you don't have yet, and it's called wisdom. And wisdom only comes with years, when you go through the process, when you've seen something that they haven't seen. Those kids that night that I got no to did some of the most stupid things, got in some legal trouble that night that probably is still following them to this day. It would have been a bad scenario had I been there. And I look back on that now and I think, wow, thank you for that no of protection. And that's what God is also doing with your life sometimes when he says no. Lean into this morning. Isaiah 55 says this. God speaks it to us this way. He says this, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. Look what he says. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So if it seems natural to you, it's probably not God's way. Like, we can't go with what we think is best because God's way are different than our ways. And there are things that we want to do with our lives that are absolutely not God's plans. And it was the same with David. Like, why would God tell David no on building the temple? I mean, it was an awesome thing. And we come to find out later in David's life that, you know what? Besides the temple, there's still armies to fight. There's still territory to take. There's still crises that you have to face. And if God would have said yes to the temple, then David would have missed out on all the bigger purposes that God had for his life. He would have been overscheduled with his life. His life would have been overcomplicated. And God knew and saw the bigger picture. And it's the same thing with your life. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 16, it says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Hear me, church. This is a dangerous thing to do, to lead your own life by your heart. It plans your ways. But the Lord directs your steps. Like, what does this tell us? It's telling us that there is a way where when you follow what you feel is best, but actually that following is just actually leading toward destruction for your life. Let me say it another way. Following your heart, following your way, is the sure way to lead your life to destruction. Phrases like, well, I just feel like I know what's best for me. Really? Phrases like, well, I've got this all under control. I love this one. I know what's right and I got this figured out. I'll never forget doing marriage counseling with a person one time, and she was marrying a guy from West Virginia, and she said to him, hey, don't you want to ask the pastor anything? And his exact words to me was, I already thunk all this out. Wow, how's that work for you? Some of us in rooms like, I already thunk all this out, pastor. I got this figured out. And I just say this, it's setting your life up to be led by your flesh, to be led by your ways, to be led by your emotions, to be led by your gut response. And that's not a great way to lead your life. We are not called to be led by our flesh. We are called to be led by the Spirit of God. And he's telling us in the Bible, there is a way to be led by your heart that leads you. But there's a better way. There's another way to be led, and it's allow the Lord to direct your steps. Direction from God is much better than being led by yourself. And I'm just challenging us to live in such a way that your steps are directed by God, even when it doesn't make sense to you. Because being led to God, trusting God, being led by him, it doesn't make sense. In fact, it's counterintuitive. It's counter to the world and possibly even counter to your feelings. But it will lead you, if we allow God to lead us, it will lead you to a greater life than you could ever imagine. It will lead you to a better life than you could ever get to on your own, because simply God's way is better. Let me just say this one more thing before we give up. Sometimes God tells us no because we need his help. We need his protection to protect us from doing too many things that are not his will. Like, if you got a yes from God every time you ask God for something, your life would be so crowded that you would stay so busy, but you'll miss out on the will of God. And some of us, we find that in successes. The busier I am, the more successful I am. But sometimes the more busier you are, you actually miss the will of God. I wrote down this way if you're taking notes, but I simply this. I think God says no to protect us from short-sighted plans that don't align with his long-term purpose for us. We love the short-sighted things because we don't like the long-term, because long-term means waiting. But sometimes I think sometimes God says no to protect us from these short-sighted plans that don't align with the long-term purpose he has for us. When he says no now, what he's doing is he's seeing your life in the long game. He's seeing your life down the road. If I say yes to this, God's probably saying to us, they're going to miss out on everything else that I want to do in their life. So I'm protecting them now by saying no, so they can be ready for the next thing that I have for them. And I don't know about you, but I listen to that and I think about that and I'm just so thankful. I'm thankful for a God that's willing to say no to me to protect my life. He's not letting me get in my own way, but he's allowing me to say, God, your ways are better. Your ways are better. Your thoughts are better. You're protecting me. So what do we do, number two, when God says, hey, when God says no? I love this one. Buckle your seatbelt. You ready? Because some of you aren't going to like this. When God says no, how about this? God is reminding us who's in charge. Some of you are like, I'm going home right now. I'm in charge, man. Don't you know who I am? I'm in charge. This was a tough one for us. It's a tough one in our church world. Like, it steps on our toes, because I think in a lot of ways we've missed this in our church culture world today. We've missed the idea of who's in charge when it comes to your relationship between us and God, especially in our like spirit-filled, I guess, somewhat Pentecostal mindset, where we're like, well, we just name it and claim it. We just believe it. We shout it long enough. We scream it long enough. Then God has to answer us. Like, we get into this place where, you know, where if I can demand things of God because I've done this, 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 and this. We even get to the place where, like, well, I've prayed and I've fasted, so God has to. He has to. Church, can I just say something to you quickly this morning? Let's be careful to understand you are not Aladdin and he is not the genie. No way. Let me say it this way. He is not here to serve whatever purpose and desire that is on your heart. You are here to serve every purpose and desire that is on his heart. You're not here to serve, he's not here to serve your heart. You're here to serve his heart. And that's tough to hear. But God does not exist to make all your wildest dreams come true. And that's why some people choose to even attempt faith. They have that in their minds. Well, if I just do some church, if I just do some prayers, if I just give some coinage, then all these things in my life will come true. And how many know that's just not how it works? Because we are not here. We're not here to let him serve us. We are here to serve him. And we have to understand this, because there will be times where God tells you no, where he's the parent, where he's the father, and he's going to say no to you. Like my mom, let's talk about moms for a moment. My mom would say this phrase that drove me absolutely nuts. Like I would say to her, "Mom, hey, me and my friends, we're going to go to a movie. Can I go to a movie with them?" And my mom would say, "No." She'd say no. But then she wouldn't leave it there, folks. She had to follow it up with this other phrase that I thought was demonic. This other phrase that was mean and unkind. And I would say, "Well, why not?" And she would respond, "Come on, you know. Because I said so." Does that drive anyone else crazy in the room today? Like, if you are that mom or dad, I want you to bow your heads with me right now and ask for forgiveness. I'll lead you in the prayer. It frustrated me. And then I said this statement to my mom once. I remember saying to her when she gave me the "I said so" statement. I looked at her and I said, "Listen to me. I'm going to tell you this once, Mom. When I have kids, I will never say that to them. I will never do what you're doing to your kids right now. Like, when I tell my kids no, I'm going to sit them down and I'm going to explain to them the process. And I'm going to tell them what I'm thinking, and I'm going to tell them the why behind it," right? And it didn't take long before my kids came, and they said, and I had to say no, and they said why, and I said, "Because I said so." And I feel good about it now. Can I say something in all kindness and love to you this morning? God does not owe you an explanation. I know it's un-American. I know you are in an American church today and you think to yourself, "Well, I have a right. I deserve an explanation." God does not owe you an explanation. God does not owe you an explanation to his no. And I know it's tough because so many of us are dealing with trials and we're dealing with sickness and we're dealing with hardships and we're dealing with questions, and you come to God with why. And I know that pain, and I know that doubt, church. I've been there. I've really wanted something. I've needed something from God. And I go to God, and I ask, and many times the no I got from God, and does not, that no never came with an explanation to why I got the no. And that's really hard, but understand this. God's ways are so much bigger than our ways. That his thoughts are so much greater than our thoughts. And he is not required to tell you why on this side of eternity. Now, I do believe that one day we're going to get there on the other side of eternity and everything will be made clear and we will understand all the why of it all. But right now, there will be moments where it doesn't make sense, and that's why it's called faith. That's why it's because even though we have to trust the process and we have to trust the no, we have to trust that there's no explanation even when it doesn't make sense. And I want to give you today a key verse how David responded to God's no. Like, this is so important. In fact, I think it's so important. I would challenge you to make this your memory verse this week, all right? Like, I want to give you some homework this week, and some of you are like, "No." All right, but I want you to get this homework this morning, right? Here's your homework. I want to give you your memory verse. When God tells me no, I want you to respond the way David responds. Look how he responds in 2 Samuel 7. He says this. God tells him no. David says, "What more can David say to you? For you know your servant, sovereign Lord." Hey, what more can I respond to you? You know your servant, sovereign Lord. I want you to think about that for a moment. There are times where God is going to close the door. There is time where he's not going to answer you the way that you want to be answered. There are times where he's not going to give you the desires that you want. And you know what your response needs to be? "What more can I say to you, Lord? I'm your servant." What more can I say to you? I'm your servant. Maybe your response is, "You know what, God? I belong to you, and I trust even though you've said no. And God, I understand it's for my good, even though it doesn't make sense right now." That is what I call spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity is not getting to a level where you always get an answer that's a yes from God. And some people live like that, but that's not a reality. Like the idea, well, if I just get to a certain level of spiritual maturity, man, if I serve enough, give enough, attend enough, do enough, pray enough, if I do all these things, then absolutely I'm going to get to a level where I will always get a yes from God. Hear me this morning. I love you, but you won't always get a yes. David was at the height of spiritual maturity, called by God, anointed by God, king over all of Israel, and God looks at him and says, no. No. And David's response is simply, what more can I say? I'm your servant. I'm your servant. David looks at God essentially saying, you know what? Your ways are better than my ways. Your plans are better than my plans. Because the reality for us, church, is we didn't sign up to be buddy-buddy with God. You signed up to submit your life to the lordship of Jesus Christ, to his ownership, which means I belong to him, which means I'm committed to him. And if it doesn't give, and if he doesn't give me what I want, that's okay because he's God and I'm not. I wrote down this way, if you're taking notes, I love this. No matter how prominent you become, you're never beyond the need to submit to God. No matter how prominent you come, and no matter how high your spiritual level gets, you are never beyond the need to submit to God. And we all have times when God says no to us, and we say, okay, God, I submit to you, I submit myself to you, I submit myself to the no. And it's hard to do, and that's why, but that's what we're called to do. We live in submission, and how many know submission is not always comfortable? You know why it's not always comfortable? And this might fit everybody in the room, but most of you in the room, you know why it's not comfortable? Because we're Montanans by God, right? Listen to me, like I'm a Montanan. I don't like to submit to anybody, right? We're all about freedom and independence. Come on. And I get all that for our nation, but it's not the case with your relationship with God. You submit to him. You are not free to do whatever you want. You belong to him. His ways are above your ways. His thoughts are above your thoughts. His plans are better than your plans. And even in the midst of your unhappiness with God's no, you do what he says anyway. Let me give you one more thing. If spiritual maturity is having it all together, if that's what spiritual maturity meant, I have it all together, like, and I put it all together, and then that if I have spiritual maturity, I can pray, and all my prayers will be answered for my life, and God, my life would just be full of God's yeses. If that's the case, and if that's true, then here's the reality. Some of the greatest heroes of faith must be extremely spiritually immature. If that's the case, then some of the greatest heroes in the Bible must be spiritually immature. Like David did not get his prayer answered. Lord, I want to build you a temple. And God says no. There's this guy in the New Testament, Paul, the greatest Christian leader after Jesus, established the churches all over the world, wrote a third of the New Testament. And Paul goes to God in one of the most significant passages of all of the Bible, one of the most vulnerable passages in all of the Bible. And he goes to God and says this to him. Look what he says in 2 Corinthians 12. Therefore, he's talking to the people. In order to keep me from being conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Now there is some problem happening in this hero of faith's life that he cannot get rid of. That God has said no. Like some people, we don't really know what it is. Some people think it was an illness in his body. Some people think that it was anxiety or depression in his mind. Some people think it was a relationship that was in his life. Maybe someone who had been traveling with him or some person that constantly was slandering him or speaking ill against him. We don't know, but there's this thorn and God says no. And he goes on to say, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. And listen to me. I know some of you in the room can identify with this. Like you've pleaded with God. Man, you've battled illness. God, take it away. You've battled anxiety and fear and depression. God, take it away. You've needed something. You've needed provision from God. God, provide this for me. You've had family members and friends who want nothing to do with your faith and have totally resisted you. And you're like, God, you're pleading with him. God, answer me. Some of you have a behavior or an unbelief that you know doesn't please God, and yet it's still this thorn inside your flesh. And you ask God, help me with this. And God responded to Paul like he responds to some of us. No. He didn't give him a miracle, but hear me, church. Instead, he gave him something else. You know what he gave him? Grace. And God's like, I'm not going to take away the thorn from you, but instead, look what he says. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. I want you to lean into this. Many of us are believing God for something. There's no doubt. But here's the good news. First of all, God is not required to give you a miracle. He's not required to answer your prayer. But there is something that he will always give you, and it's called grace. He'll always give you grace. Like if he doesn't give you the miracle on this side of eternity, he will always give you the grace. He will always give you the strength and even the joy to sustain you in whatever season of life you find yourself in. It's never a no answer to grace. How many? Grace is always a yes. I'm going to give you, I might not answer everything that you need, but I'm going to give you the grace to sustain you. I'm going to give you the strength. And you and I can find hope that God said to Paul, no, but I'm going to give you grace. I'm going to give you strength. I'm going to be with you. And my prayer over you today, I know you're going to have trials. I know there's things that you're going to deal with. Things are going to come up in your life. And I know some of you are believing for things even right now. And I don't know how God will answer those things. There will be some yeses, absolutely, and possibly some no's. And I want you to know, I'm praying for you. I'm going to keep praying for our church that we experience miracles. I'm going to keep praying that God will answer your prayers. But hear me, no matter what, I know my God will always give you grace to sustain you in the most difficult, trying seasons of your life. He's going to give you grace. So I want to close with this. God reminds us his no has protection behind it. I think his no's remind us that, you know, he's ultimately in charge and we need to know that. But let me close with this, and I hope you grab this today. When God says no, maybe the reason behind the no is simply this. God is setting us up for a greater yes. He's setting you up for a greater yes. I've heard this my whole, I've heard it my whole life. He set it up, and I've learned this over my life, that when God says no, it's because he knows there's a greater yes for you. There's a greater yes for you. By the way, I want you to, if whoever's doing the slides, keep these three up for just, I don't normally do this in our sermons, but I really want you to grab this today. Whether you're taking notes, writing it down, throw a camera on your phone. You need to grab these three things. You need to deposit them somewhere in your life, these three points. Because I know somebody's in the room probably thinking, God will never tell me no, right? Hold on. If you haven't had a no yet, it's coming. And when that no comes over your life, I want you to be able to look in your Bible, look at your notes, pull up your screen on your phone, look at that picture, and I want you to be able to remind yourself, you know what? Maybe, just maybe. Maybe I just needed to be reminded today. Listen, when I'm hearing that no, maybe God's just protecting me. Maybe God's just looking out for me. Man, when you're in the midst of that unanswered season, that no is facing you, maybe you're just reminding yourself that I need to submit to him. That I'm just his servant. Like maybe you need to just remind yourself, you know what? At the end of the day, God's given me a no because there is a way better yes that's going to follow this thing. So what I found is that God, I found in my life that when I submit to God's no, when I say, okay, I'm okay, God, with the no, I submit to it. What I find is that God always sets me up for a better yes. He set me up for a better yes. Look what he did in David's life, right? Verse 12, read again. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. Who's he talking about? He's talking about his son, and his name is Solomon. We're going to talk more about him throughout this series, but this dude was incredible. Used by God. He builds the temple. Known as the wisest man around. God is setting up. He's taken the no to give a better yes. Look what he says in verse 13. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Like David wanted a yes from God, and God told him no. And here's why he gave him the no. Because, you know why? Because I'm going to say yes to your son instead. Now your kingdom, David, is not going to be about what you did, but it's going to be about how I blessed your life and your family. Hear me, church. It was bigger than David could imagine. Like, it was like this light bulb went off in David's mind. Like, God's yes for my life was a generational legacy in my life. It was going to, if he would have said, if David would have not listened to the no, you know what it had been? It would have been all about David. It would have been all about him. It would have ended right there. But in the midst of the no, God had a bigger yes for David. It was going to be something for his family that would go all the way down the line, all the way to the line of our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. It was bigger than just him. If David would have built it, it would have been all about him. It would have been all about David. It would have been all ended up, it would have all ended right there with David. But God was saying, hey, I'm telling you no, because I want your legacy to be bigger than you. So I'm going to say yes to the generation down the road. Hear me this morning. There's a reason God's saying no right now in your life. And I want to encourage you with this. You know why he's saying no? Because he's setting you up for a way bigger yes. Way bigger yes. Kim and I can tell you story after story, but I wanted to tell you a story of the no in my life. We had moved all the way from across, all the way to New England, across the country to follow what God called us to do. We had a successful ministry where we were. We left where we were. God was doing good things. We'd been there for years. And then there came this season where the school we were teaching at, the Bible college, and had moved. And we moved to this house. And we had a year, probably about a year, of just extreme no. So we move into this house right here, man. We're like, this is awesome. Stetson Street. We got this house. We moved out of the living on campus to this house. We got our four kids. Everything is great. We're like, oh, this is perfect. We got this beautiful house. And all of a sudden, the owners of the home come to us and they're like, not even 6 months. I don't know if we lived there 3 months. And they're like, hey, we've decided to sell the house. You have to leave. We're like, wait a minute. And we're praying, okay, God, what's next? And everywhere we're going, like the new homes, new things, where everything was a no. I ended up moving my family to live in a college dorm room, y'all. Not even just a college dorm room, in the boys' dorm room. You know what that smells like? Here we are in this like two-bedroom little dorm apartment living with my family. My daughter and son are sharing a room. We're crammed in this place, and we're like, God, what are you trying to do? And everywhere we're turning, looking for new answers, where can we move here? Where can we move there? We're getting a big, fat no. Even to the next, again, this is all happening under a year. We finally have to go. We, like, this church was in town. We moved in. They let us move into this parsonage that was, the church did not have a pastor. They said, well, you guys can move in there until we find a pastor. And here we are, displaced again. We feel like nomads. Like, why do we keep getting these no's? We're living in this parsonage. Listen to me. We are going around trying to find homes to rent. Like, we are good renters. I've seen bad renters. Some of you are some of them. Listen, every homeowner, we've never had this happen in our marriage. Even places we wanted to rent, they would say, no. Like, what? Usually we walk in a home, families meet us, and we're like, yeah, we want you. They would say no. We got to the point we put in an application to buy a home. We had good credit. We had like everything. There was nothing wrong. We put in to buy a home. We put the application in. You know, they told us no. And we're like, what is going on? What is happening in our life? Why are we getting this no? And then we get to this parsonage. They finally find a pastor. We hadn't even been there that long. And they're like, listen, you guys have a week to get out of here. Like, not even a month, a week to get out of here. We're like, how are we going to do this? Everyone has told us no. Literally within that week, I'm at a random conversation, random call from a district superintendent of the Southern New England District. He had oversaw the Assemblies of God for all of Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. Calls me into his office. He goes, Heath, you have been on my heart. I want to propose something to you. He goes, I wonder if you would come. I didn't even know him that well. Like, we're not friends. And yet he calls me in his office. He says, I want to know if I would like you to come to here and to be a young voice in my ear for the church today. Like all the churches of Massachusetts, Connecticut, Rhode Island, I want you to come be a young voice in my ear. Like help me vision cast. Help me lead this thing. I'm like, what? He even said to me, he goes, I called the president of the college to ask permission to talk to you. And the president said, no, you can't talk to him. We don't want him to leave. And then he called me back like 2 days later and said, hey, God's been keeping me up at night. I don't want to stand in the way of God's will. So if this is God's will, yeah, you can talk to him. And Kim and I said, yes. Said, yes, we're going to make this transition. God was protecting us, y'all. God was only protecting us. He was reminding us who's in charge. And then he was definitely reminding us that there was a better yes. Because we started looking for homes. We're with the realtor. And we're like looking to rent. And she said, no, you guys should buy. I said, we've already done that. We've tried to buy. They told us, no. Church, we did it again. I said, all right, we'll apply again. Guess what we got? Yes. And you want me to show you I went from tiny house, part dorm living, to parsonage, until God gave us a better yes. This was our next view. Live the lake life, y'all. God kept giving us no's because he had a better yes. He had a way better yes for us. The no's, we look back on our lives now, we're like, dude, we didn't realize it at the time, but God was saying no, 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 no. He was protecting us. He was reminding us he's in charge. But at the end of the day, he was reminding us, man, I got a way better yes for you. I got a way better yes for you. And that's just my story. But I know there's stories in this room where God's been telling you no, but you need to grasp it today. He's got a no for you because he's got a better yes for you. He got something way better than you could possibly imagine, what you could possibly put your mind on. He's got a better yes. All of those no's, God turned into a yes. No, yes. Way better yes. And I know that if God has given you a no this morning in this church, if you're here today and you begin to know, I can tell you this. I believe God's a good father. I believe he's a good God. I believe his ways are better than your ways. I believe his thoughts are better than your thoughts. And if God has given you a no today, I believe it's because he's got a better yes waiting for you. A way better yes for you. And his yes is good for your life. His yes will be a blessing for your life. His bless will sustain you. By the way, can I just say something to you? I'll close with this. How many know, even Jesus, in his most crucial moment, about to go to the cross and die for you, he's pleading with the Father, would you take this cup away from me? I'm in torment, God, take this away from me. And God said, my son, whom I love, the God that said, I love him and I'm pleased with him, looked at Jesus. And you know what he said? No. And it's not because God doesn't care. God absolutely cares. But how many know, even telling Jesus no, God had a better yes? Because God knew on the other side of the cross was salvation. And I don't know about you, but I think we should be thankful for God's no in the garden so that we can have the yes of salvation today. Let me say this last thing to you. I feel impressed to say this as we close out. Can I encourage you this morning, all of you, one of you, two of you, three of you, I feel impressed by the Holy Spirit. Don't get bitter when God tells you no. Some of you have allowed the bitterness to creep in. Maybe because you thought you should know. Maybe you thought you were owed an explanation. Maybe the bitterness has stepped in on you because God has just been telling you no. And you're like, when's the yes going to step in? Can I encourage you today, don't get bitter. Embrace God's no, understanding that he's got a way better yes coming for your life today. Would you stand with me this morning? Come on, let's worship him.
Worthy you are, worthy you are. Worthy you will be forever, Yahweh. Worthy you were, worthy you are, worthy forever, Yahweh. great, only greatly to be praised. Your name is great and greatly to be praised. Your name is great, only greatly to be praised. We sing worthy.
I just come before you today. I pray each and every one of us in this room, God, that we would just stay in a place of submission to you. That God, I will stay submitted to you, whether it's a big fat yes or a big fat no. I stay submitted to you, God. And God, in the midst of this room, you are working to protect us and watch over us. But God, in the midst of your no, maybe you're just reminding us that maybe we've lost the focus of who is in charge. And God, ultimately, at the end of the day, we are just servants. We just serve you, and we serve your purposes, and we serve your heart. But Lord, I do believe, God, that at the end of every no that you provide is a way better yes. And no, it doesn't make sense. And though we can't see it, God, may we embrace the process. And may we put our trust and hope in you and submit to you that in the end, God, there's a yes that's to come. On the other side of that no is a way better yes. And I pray that over your people today, their heads bowed and eyes closed. I just close with this last prayer. Maybe you're here today and, man, that you just need to, maybe you're the one who's been saying no to God. And today you want to change that and say yes to him. So many times we're the ones who say no. And this is your opportunity to say, you know, I'm going to change that today. And instead of saying no to God, I'm going to say yes to God. And I'm going to commit everything in my life, all things to him. And if that's you today, this is your opportunity to say yes. No one's looking around. We're not going to embarrass you. It's right here where you are. But if you're in the room today and you say, I want to say yes to God, I want to give him my life, would you just put your hand up, put it back down? I want to know what I'm praying for. Thank you. Anyone else? Hands. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Come on. This is your opportunity. I don't want to miss you. My opportunity to say yes to God. So, Lord, right now, I come before you. You're in this room today, and you've, like, I need to say yes. And you raise your hand, and you're that person that's wanting to make that statement. I say yes to you. It's very simple. It's just simply saying, yes. Lord, I say yes to you. Here's my life. Here's my heart, my mind, my thoughts, my attitude. I give it to you. I submit to you, Lord. And, Lord, by me saying yes to you, the amazing yeses you have for me, the amazing thoughts you have for me, the amazing ways you have for me. So if that's you today, it's just simply saying, yes, God, here's my life. Forgive me. I give it to you in Jesus' name. So, Lord, I just pray over your people today, Lord, that your face would shine upon us. God, you would just give us so many better yeses in the midst of the no's. But, Lord, let us embrace the no today. Don't let us get bitter. Don't let us get shallow. Don't let us get selfish. But let us hold to you with our faith and our trust that our God, his ways are better. His thoughts are better. His plans are better. And I submit to them today. And so we love you today. We honor you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, come on, amen and amen. Let's give it up to God. Come on. He's worthy. Amen. Don't leave yet. Don't leave yet. I'll give you some quick instruction today. First, two things. Number one, if you are a mom in here, we have a gift we want to give you. And remember what I said today. We are all about mom at heart. There's a lot of ladies in here today that desire to be moms. Maybe you have lost a child, or maybe you are a mom, or maybe you desire to be a mom. Listen, we honor you, and we see you, and God sees you. So we want to give you all a gift today. If you are a lady in here today, we have a gift for you. So we have in the back these wonderful bouquets that we have men that are going to serve you. Come on. Everybody likes that. And we want to serve and put together a bouquet for you. And all you don't wait in line. It's not going to be long. Wait, we have a beautiful bouquet that we'd like to put together for you. So all you got to do is make your way to the back before you leave today. So please do that for us. Secondly is this. Listen, maybe you're in the process of looking for that better yes, that no. hear me, it begins with prayer. I'm not telling us not to talk to God. We need to talk to God. And we have this prayer corner over here. If you're here today, like, look, I'm in the midst of a no. I'm searching out my better yes. I just need someone to agree with me. That's what we're here for. So find this corner over here. These people would love to just take a moment, pray with you privately, and just in a moment to say, hey, listen, I'm going to help you through your no. I'm going to help you find that yes with God. So we pray that for you today. Hey, a lot going on this week. We have a men's breakfast on Saturday. Be here at 8 o'clock. A lot of things happening. Check it out online. We'd love to see you. Invite a friend next week. God bless you. Come on. Amen. Amen. Amen.
This is the Christian Life Center Weekly Podcast. Visit us online at MissoulaChurch.com.